Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day, and Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time, and thank you for the opportunity to be here, Lord, with these brethren and sisters in Christ. And Lord, we just pray that you'd bless us, pray that you'd help us, Lord, to be true to your word and help us to learn from your Bible today. And we pray, Lord, that this would be a blessing to those that are here. And Lord, as we see a new life, new family starting here, Lord, and we just pray that you'd be with them as well, Lord, and bless them and be with these other brethren and sisters in Christ, and may just feed them, Lord, the spiritual food that they need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 59, please. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 19. We're going to talk about the flood of evil that comes in, that God will lift up a standard against it. This flood of evil that God says will arise and will come in, and the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says, and then God brings deliverers. He sends deliverers along. He raises up deliverers, men that will go out and deliver, and even women in some cases, in their proper role that God has given them, that they will rise up and come and raise a standard against the evil that's out there in this world today. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 19, "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and as his glory from the rising of the sun, and his glory from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." And we know that these are awful, wicked times that we live in. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1. And then we'll see some of these times that we live in and what the Bible warned these days would come, and we're seeing them now. It's evident where we're at today. If anybody has any spiritual sense about them at all, I like that website talks about being spiritually smart. If anybody has any of that spiritual smartness right now, they will understand what we're facing today. It's evident where things are headed. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Well, we see that today, don't we? Despisers of those that are good. Those that will stand up for righteousness, they are despised. They are made little. Righteousness is made so despised today. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Well, we're seeing that, aren't we? People that are turning on the Word of God. They're turning into traitors. They're turning on the Word of God. And there'll be some that will be false brethren that will turn on you. There will be some that will be false brethren. They will turn on you. And you're going to see that as men's hearts will fail them, the Bible says, in these end times, in these wicked times we live in. Traitors, heady, high-minded. Are we seeing that today? High-minded people. You know, I think that's likened to those that are higher criticism for the Word of God, right? Their intellect takes them over. They're wiser than God, right? And the Bible talks about those that thought they were wiser than God, right? And that's what we have today. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know how many times I've heard that? Well, I can't do this for God because I'm doing this, or I want to do this. Or their life is so consumed with loving the pleasures of this earth and loving the things of this earth that they cannot do anything for God. They will not sacrifice. They will not give anything to God. They will not give anything for God. And the reason why is because they're lovers of pleasures. Well, that could be many things. That could be, for a man, that could be a woman. That could be the opposite sex. That could be lovers of pleasures of this world. I mean, they have to have all the nice things and all the fancy things and all the expensive things to live their life in that luxury and that expense. And they won't give anything to God, to the ministry of the Lord, or to anything else, because they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Bible says, from such, turn away. Amen? Now, in Judges chapter 3, verse number 9, the Bible says, "And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel." And that's what we're seeing today, that God is starting to raise up deliverers who will deliver people from what they're in. But we want to talk about first some of these things here and kind of dissect some of these things. But the wickedness of America is abounding more and more. We're seeing it, I mean, every day. I mean, as I walk out on the street, as we were just going to the stores and walking around, it was just shocking how far things have gotten. Just how absolutely wicked people are today and how openly wicked they are. And they just don't even bat an eye at it. There's no shame. The Bible says they can't shame. The Bible talks about that. That they cannot be shamed. That they could not blush.
Right.
That's something. Something you would think would be embarrassing about something that they don't even blush.
Right.
Doesn't bother them at all. Doesn't even. Yeah, they're proud of it. They're proud of it. Well, the Bible says these are perilous times. What does that word perilous mean? It means dangerous. It means hazardous. Full of risk. Perilous, dangerous times. As perilous undertaking or a perilous situation. Dangerous, hazardous, full of risk. The rise of evil is so apparent. We're seeing it everywhere. We're seeing that these are dangerous times to be a Christian. You're going to find out as time goes on, it's going to be very dangerous for you to be a Christian. See, Christianity is now, we're coming to a point now where Christianity in America is going to cost you something.
Right.
It's going to cost you to live for God now. You and I are going to pay a price for living for God. These times are coming. You know, we're seeing it. The rise of evil is so apparent today. We see Satan's kingdom is coming in like a flood, isn't it? That's what it's doing. Like that, what does that verse say here? Verse number 19, 59 verse number 19. It says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. I think we're seeing that, aren't we? I think we're seeing the enemy come like a flood. But let me give you some examples, okay? Because I think America is soon to be fully given over to full-blown Luciferianism.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, we're seeing it. And by the way, don't let these atheists fool you. They're going to be the first lapdogs for the Antichrist.
Yep.
Don't let them fool you. They are going to eat him up. They are going to lap him up like crazy.
Yep.
They are going to receive him and accept him like crazy. Because
right.
There's no such thing as an atheist. They're only fools.
Yep. Right.
And listen, they're going to be the first ones to do it. Well, we don't believe in any God. We don't believe in this. They're going to believe in this man that calls himself God. They're going to believe in him. They're going to follow him. They're going to be the first in line to follow him. They're going to give their wholesale allegiance to it to slaughter Christians. That's what they're going to do.
Amen.
That's exactly what they're going to do. Don't be fooled. That's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to act like they're not. No, I wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, you would.
Yep.
So this kind of preaching scares me. Good, it should. It should awaken you. To the seriousness of where we're at.
Yeah,
that's right. Make you pray. Then you won't be afraid because God has not given us a spirit of fear,
right.
But of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Yeah. They can't do anything to us.
Right.
Only what God lets.
Yep.
And if God lets them and then we get a promotion, big deal.
Amen.
We're going to heaven.
Amen.
Big deal. All you can do is take my body. I fear
right.
Him that can take soul and cast it into hell. Not that can take my body.
Right.
Big deal. What are you going to do to it? I don't care. I don't need it where I'm going.
Right.
I'm getting a new one anyway.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah? Right, so that enemy's coming in like a flood, right? So what's the first flood we've noticed here recently, more than ever? How about a flood of abortion?
Yeah.
I mean, just a wholesale flood of abortion and selling baby parts.
Yeah.
Think about this. I mean, how can you get any more Luciferian than to take little babies, cut their faces open, and pull out their heart intact? So they could sell it to somebody. I mean, how could you get any more Luciferian than that?
Sounds like human sacrifice.
Yeah, this is what it is. And we're going to talk about that. That is what it is. The murder of children is a satanic act. It's highly demonic. How could anyone think it's anything other than witchcraft and Satanism? Turn to 2 Kings chapter 8, please. Verse number 12. And Hazael said, why weepeth my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that thou wilt do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds wilt thou set on fire. Their young men wilt thou slay with the sword. And wilt dash their children and rip up their women with children. So what was he saying they were going to do? Well, they're going to go... Elijah was telling this man, you're going to go through and you're going to rip up those women and children. You're going to slaughter their babies and you're going to kill them. That's what you're going to do. It's all going to be for your God. That's why you're going to do it. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse number 6, and he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. That was Manasseh. Also, he observed times and used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with a familiar spirit and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Who was that? That was Manasseh. Manasseh was a very wicked king. He was the son of Hezekiah. He was the son of Hezekiah's old age. Sounds like Hezekiah would have been better off dying that 16 years before that, right? Probably would have been better off if he died than Manasseh wouldn't have been born. You know what I mean? I know it sounds bad, but if God would have took him out, then that wouldn't have happened. But anyway, it was the will of God to let it happen. But as we see here with Manasseh, though, what did he do? Manasseh was the most wicked. He was the complete opposite of his father. He was the absolute opposite. He was the most wicked king ever. I mean, he made Judah to sin greatly. I mean, he dealt with a familiar spirit. He had all the witches around him. He had all the wizards around him. He had the necromancers around him. He was doing everything. He was burning his babies.
Right.
He was taking them to the fire and he was burning his babies alive, throwing them. See, they had this statue of like Moloch like this on fire like this, and there was fire, I believe it was in the belly, wasn't it, Nate? In the belly on fire, and they had it like this, and they would just roll the baby, and the baby would just, they would just throw it, right? And the baby would just like roll in the fire or something like that. They heat up the arms, so it would burn the babies as soon as it touched the arms. It would burn the babies alive, and you would hear them screaming. That's why they would play the war drums, those drums really loud, so you would drown out the baby screaming. Kind of like Planned Parenthood, huh? When you just see that video where they cut the face off of that baby, and the baby is screaming, and you can hear it screaming. Mm-hmm. No, nothing's changed. It's just as wicked as ever. It's getting worse, though, because you're seeing the rise of Antichrist.
Yep. Right.
You're seeing the rise of that Antichrist spirit. The acceptance of full-scale Luciferianism in America. You are seeing it accepted now, right in front of you. It says here in 2 Kings chapter 21, verse number 16, "Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood ever very much, till he had filled Jerusalem with from one end to another. Beside his sin, wherewith he made Judah to sin, in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord." Manasseh was a wicked king. He was like one of the most wicked kings. But you know what? I want you to go listen to my sermon on Manasseh, okay? Because Manasseh actually repented.
Yep, right.
Manasseh actually got forgiven of his sins.
Mm-hmm.
And he repented. And the Bible says then Manasseh, he knew the Lord was God.
Yep.
Because God punished him. See, God took him away. I think he took him to Babylon and they put out his eyes or something like that. Maybe. I can't remember if they put out his eyes. But anyway, they took him in Babylon in shackles, I believe, or maybe the king of Assyria. I can't remember right off who it was. But they took him in shackles and he prayed and the Lord brought him back to his land and his back to his throne. And then he repented of what he had done, and God saved him. So you know what? You may think somebody in your life is too far from being saved. Oh, they're in witchcraft, or they've been this, or they've done that, or they've had abortions. Then all these things. Hey, they can still be saved.
Right.
God can still pull them out of it. The power of God can still save them.
Right.
Don't give up on anybody. Keep preaching to them. Keep praying for them. Keep fasting for them. Keep telling them the truth. Keep giving it to them that you don't know how far they are. God, everybody would have said Manasseh's a reprobate. There's no way he can be saved. Look, I mean, he killed his own children. He burned them in the fire.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He made the children pass through the fire. He killed them. He burned them up. He burned them alive.
Right.
He had witches. He dealt with familiar spirits. Come on, those people can't be saved. Absolutely they can be.
Right.
Absolutely they can be. And you better be praying for them that they do get saved.
Not
to us, he's a reprobate. That's right. That's right. That's right. Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 16. "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood."
Yeah.
See that? It's wicked. God hates it. Go back and listen to a sermon that I preached called "America's Curse for Shedding Innocent Blood." Go listen to that one. That was an older one from a few years ago, I think it was. But go listen to that and see that America, God would not. By the way, Manasseh repented, but God said it had gone too far. He said, "Yeah, I forgive Manasseh for that, but it's gone too far. There was no remedy left. Judgment's coming." I'm telling you, judgment is coming here. That doesn't mean we can't see people saved and we can't see a revival. We can still see that. We can still, but judgment is still going to come. But in the midst of judgment, God revives His people. That's what He does. A heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. People today, they look for something to get in trouble with.
Yep.
We see that everywhere. They just look for something to get in trouble with.
That knockout game.
Yeah, knockout game, stuff like that. Just wicked mischief.
Yep.
Just absolutely wicked and heinous. I mean, you've seen it everywhere. Everywhere. Just kids getting into mischief and trouble, just worse than ever before. Vandalizing and tearing things up and hurting people and killing people and everything else for no reason at all. Just for, there's no reason for it at all. But it's a sign of the times that we live in. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Perilous and dangerous times. The most dangerous place to be today is the mother's womb in America. It's the most unprotected place to be in America. You're safer to be anywhere else. You're safer to be in the heart of the streets of the ghetto where there's war going on, where there's gang fights and everything else. You're safer there than in a mother's womb today in America. America's a dangerous place to be for a baby. So now we see things have gone a step further. Now we've got these women actually auctioning off baby parts to the highest bidder. So the lady can immediately say, I can have a Lamborghini.
Yep.
That's what she said.
Yep.
So I can be rich. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil.
That's right.
That's why they're doing it. They love money. What does Satan promise this wicked world? Promises everything, right? Money, riches, fame. If thou wilt fall down and worship me, look at this. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 8. Some of you know this. Some of you have been promised. Nate understands this. His testimony, he knows full well. Aaron, another brother of church, he had the same promise from the devil. See, that sounds crazy. It might sound crazy, but it's true.
Right.
And now, how do you think these people get so famous?
Yeah. Right.
You think they get famous because they have talent?
Yeah.
Think it's what it is? Come on, because you've seen some of these people that are singers. They ain't got no talent, man. They sound horrible. It just sounds stupid. But people love them, right?
People worship them.
Right, they worship them. That's right. How? Because they have devils in them. When they lift up their hands and they're screaming, they're worshiping for what? The devil that's in there is getting the glory. That's what that's about. That's what that's about. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. There you go. Satan takes him up to a high place.
Yep.
Right? And showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.
Right.
That's what Satan said to Jesus. He took him up to high mountain. All, I'll give you all these things. If you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you everything.
Yep.
And Jesus obviously rebuked him sharply. So I'll give you everything. You know, I want to read you something that Aleister Crowley said, because it goes along with this child sacrifice. And this what we're seeing today. By the way, before you can have a rise of Antichrist, before you can have, if you understand witchcraft at all, one thing you understand is everything has to be done a certain way, doesn't it, Nate? It all has to be done. And if it's not said a certain way, if it's not done a certain way, then it doesn't work. Right? So what do they need to call up devils and to call up that kingdom that they're trying to get to rise? That when that enemy shall come in like a flood, like the Bible says, from a witchcraft standpoint, what do they need? Well, they need blood. They need fornication, right? They need blood and fornication, the right words to say. They have to have all those things. So what do we see in America today? We're seeing this child sacrifice. I mean, how better to bring devils to your country anymore and to bring the wicked onslaught of the devil's kingdom to come here? How much better to bring it than to have all the blood sacrifice that's going on one of the leaders of Planned Parenthood, I think it was California or someplace like that, or one of the abortion clinics, she said, you have your worship and I have mine. And hers is to sacrifice babies.
Holy ritual child sacrifice.
Yeah, holy ritual child sacrifice. That's what she said. Go listen, Scott Johnson has it. I have it on a record somewhere, but Scott Johnson has it at contendingforthetruth.com.
Yep.
You can go look at the PDF file, type in abortion, look at the PDF file, and you'll see her quotes exactly. That's what she said. See, they believe it, folks. I wish God's people believed it and understood what they believe what they're doing. I wish we believed and understood what we are facing. Because the enemy is coming in like a flood. I mean, it's just filling this nation with wickedness and evil.
Right.
Absolutely evil. Well, listen, Aleister Crowley said this in the book called The Magic. He said this. It was the theory of the ancient magicians that any living being is a storehouse of energy, varying in quantity according to the size and health of the animal, and in quality according to its mental and moral character. At the death of the animal, this energy is liberated suddenly. The animal should therefore be killed within the circle, or triangle, as the case may be, so that its energy cannot escape. For the highest spiritual working, one must accordingly choose that victim which contains the greatest and purest force. A male child of perfect innocence and high intelligence is the most satisfactory and suitable victim. Magic by Master Therion, published in 1929 by Lacrim Press. A footnote on page 95 says this: it appears from the magical records of Frater Perdurabo that he made this particular sacrifice on an average of about 150 times every year between 1912 and 1928.
Dang.
Do you understand what to say? Aleister Crowley murdered male children, probably raped them before he murdered them.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, what I say, you've got to have that fornication. You've got to have that homosexuality. You've got to have that stuff in order to get more devils here, in order to get more satanic power here. So the land has to be full of that.
Why do you think all the rock bands love him?
That's right. Why do they all love and advertise Aleister Crowley? They do it because he was the king of their wicked cult, of their wicked demonic activity.
Yep.
And, you know, the OTO.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, we'll talk about that. Well, you'll hear more about that later. All right. The Bible says all they that hate God love death, though.
Yep.
All they, and what do these people thrive on? Death and wickedness. And the land is flooded with this wickedness. Yeah, look at their clothing. That's right. When there's not enough of a public outrage here, where is Congress? Huh? They can't even agree to pull national federal funding for something. Are you serious? You couldn't even agree to that? You guys couldn't come together and get something done like that?
Yeah.
How can any person walk out, look themselves in the mirror, and think that any of this stuff is okay? Because they're devils.
Yeah.
People get mad at me when I say that. But they're all full of devils. Mm-hmm. That whole Congress is full of nothing but devils. You explain to me why John Boehner is having Pope Francis come in and is going to speak right there in Congress. Man, I wouldn't let that devil speak anywhere around me.
Yeah.
He's a wicked devil is what he is.
Right.
And he's coming there and he's going to speak there. Why? Because they speak the same language. That's why.
Yeah. John Boehner is Jesuit trained.
That's right. John Boehner is Jesuit trained. Every governor, every senator, and even the wicked president should have immediately dropped funding, but they won't because they're all Luciferians.
Yep.
That's what they are. They're all high-level Luciferians. That's what they really are. Yeah, listen to this. Speaking to Fox News, what did our president say about this? This news reporter this Representative Doug McElroy for Obama, his spokesman said this. Ernest said that the Obama administration has no intention of pursuing an investigation into the allegations, despite the numerous calls from members of Congress to defund the abortion provider. An independent investigation launched by various state governors. Has the White House had any communication with Planned Parenthood about standardizing procedures for fetal tissue research? Has the White House had any concerns about illegalities in this realm? Have you had any sort of investigations? Are you considering one? McElroy asks, not that I'm aware of. Ernest says, I think Planned Parenthood has been quite specific about the policies and procedures that they have in place, and I know they have described those policies and procedures as living up to the highest ethical standards. Yeah, because murdering babies is the highest ethical standards, let me tell you. Those kind of people wouldn't have anything wrong with their brain. So what are we seeing, folks? We're seeing the enemy coming like a flood. That's what we're seeing. It's normalizing. And these videos are doing nothing but putting in front of your face all the time.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, even they have an evil intent about them. You know, not that those people are being evil by what they're doing, but the devil uses that on already seared consciences just to make them so it doesn't matter even more. Oh, yeah, people are getting their heads, yeah, whatever. Because who's really that outraged, seriously? I mean, really, when you think about it. They're not. Most people aren't. No doubt, though, that the Bible says that God will raise up deliverers, that God will send some. We're starting to see some. We're starting to see people from all... We're getting contact from all over the country, all over the world, but all over the country, especially of people saying, you know what? I'm tired of this. I'm tired of going to church and having everything just passed over.
Yeah.
No, nothing's a big deal. They're so passive. Their programs have to keep going. Nobody gets excited about the Lord. Nobody's crying out against the wickedness. Nobody wants to go cry out against the high places. Nobody wants to do any of that stuff. It's no big deal. Just relax. Tone it down. Don't get too excited about it.
Yep.
Right? So shall they fear my name, the name of the Lord, from the west and his glory, from the rising of the sun, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him.
Right.
That's what God is doing. Take heed, brethren, though it's a small remnant, little as much when God is in it.
Amen. Yep.
And God will use one man or two men. God will use them. Amen. Wherever they are. But let me ask you, who will be a deliverer in this generation? Think about it. We need young men your age right now. We need young ladies too, but we need young men your age right now that'll rise up and say enough is enough.
Yep.
We're not going to let the devil have our generation. We're not going to let him take it all.
Yep. Come on.
We're going to fight!
Right.
Amen.
Next, number two, we see a flood of this LGBT and gender confusion.
Yep. Yep.
Absolute confusion, flooding. Nate and I last week, at that same event you've seen the video on with the police, that same event, we're standing there talking to two little 14-year-old girls that are about as big as my pinky. I mean, they were tiny little girls. Mm-hmm. And they're kissing each other. And they're telling us how much they're lesbians. And I couldn't believe it. I was just so grieved. I sat there, and they're so arrogant and cocky and cussing us out and laughing at us and mocking us and kissing in front of us and trying to wiggle their bodies and all kinds of dirty things right in front of us and everything. I'm thinking, I mean, 14 years old. Yeah, so deceived. Why? Because they're being flooded by the enemy with absolute confusion. And they're being told, well, you know what, I can't help it. This girl's trying to explain to me, I can't help it, I was born this way. You're born this way. No, you weren't. You were born naked into this world, somebody put a diaper on you and took care of you, and somebody taught you that.
Amen, Brad. Yep.
So there's a wholesale attack now, though, on gender-specific things. They want to destroy the family. They don't want to be gender-specific anymore. Oh, we don't want to have boys. I mean, I never thought we'd come to this stage where we're actually like debating whether. I mean, I've seen this one of those memes, and it was holding up a baby, and they said, "Oh, you have a." Oh, sorry, we don't know yet. They'll have to decide what they are.
Target wants to.
Right? Yeah, I'm going to talk about that too. Yeah, I mean, so what are we seeing here? Are you serious? I mean, it's like telling the doctor, well, I don't know what to put on the birth certificate.
Yeah.
Well, what does it have?
To be determined.
What kind of plumbing does it have? It's pretty easy then, right?
Not hard to figure out.
We understand how that works, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not being loose with my language here, but I'm just saying. I mean, come on, it's pretty easy, folks.
Yeah.
It's not too hard, right? We get that. It's pretty simple. But what's going on? Well, I mean, you've got to be the height of foolish relativity.
Yeah.
Just the absolute foolish relativity to be like, I don't know. They'd be like, I mean, I have four kids. I know what they are, okay?
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. They know what they are, too.
Yeah.
They're not confused at all.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody confused them.
Right.
Yep. Someone confused those children. That's what happened.
Yep.
In more ways than one. I mean, we stood there and watched this man and then this lady and, or I mean, these two 14-year-old lesbians at that fair. And then all of a sudden this stepdad comes up and he is like hugging all over this girl. And he's like, "Where'd you get that hickey on your neck at?" He's like laughing and all hugging her and everything. And it looks like extremely inappropriate. Like it's really gross. Like there's some gross guy, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like something really gross. And that's what it looked like. And I'm like, this is nasty. And just to hear these young girls and their speech, and we're so glad. You know what they said? "We're so glad Obama legalized gay marriage." And Nate or somebody goes, "Well, technically that was the Supreme Court." They go, "Oh, that don't matter. Obama did it anyway.
He's the president."
He's the president. She's a president. Thanks, Brainiac. Anyway, but that's what she thought, right? She's 14 years old. Obama. Hey, if Obama says it's okay, the government, listen to their mentality. They just told you that the government said it was okay, so it's okay.
It's only brainwashing.
It is brainwashing. It's exactly what it is. You know, LGBT is a threat to Christians, and that's what it's all about. They hate Christianity. It's a satanic movement.
Yeah.
Their number. I've read it. Go back and listen to the Homosexual Manifesto I preached about. Go back and listen. I preached a series on homosexuality. Go back and listen to the Homosexual Manifesto. And there's another one, Nate. I can't think of the name of it, but the one right after that. The occultic homosexuality. I can't remember it. But you remember listening to that? Okay, go back and listen to those. You'll see that homosexuality is occultism. That's what it is. If you are homosexual, you are practicing the occult. That's what you're doing. I don't care what anybody says. I've looked all over the scriptures, and that's what it points to right there. Every single, the highest level of witchcraft for Aleister Crowley was homosexuality.
Homosexuality is a cult worship.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yep. Homosexuality is a cult worship. That's what it's called. And that's exactly what it is. It is a cult worship big time. You want to get it? You ever seen a... Come on now, folks. If you ever understand homosexuals and the way they are, they have been with over... Half of their average is 500 men that they've been with.
Right.
That is the... Why? Because they have devils in them. That's why.
Yep. Come on.
That they have devils in them. Right. Bible says without in the end times without they'd be without natural affection.
Right.
And what are we seeing? Absolutely without natural affection.
Yep.
This girl, this 14-year-old girl saying, well, my mom just wants me to be happy. She just wants me to be happy. That's all. That's she cares more about me being happy. She doesn't want me to be miserable being straight. Well, first of all, you're 14. You should have nothing to do with any of that.
Yep.
But where's this girl at? 14 years old, running around in skimpy, tight clothing. I mean, skimpy, tight clothing, holding hands and kissing a girl out in the middle of nowhere at a fair, walking around by herself.
Right.
Just walking around by herself. No parent around her. You say, well, what do you do? This is what I do. This is my rule. You see that? You know what that means? You know what that means? Nate, you know what that means?
Yep.
This is my rule right here. What does that mean? That means they don't get any farther than that right there.
Right.
That's how far the kids go. Mm-hmm. Right there. I don't like that. Good, you don't have to. They ain't your kids. I don't really care what you like, to be honest with you. But that's how far they get right there.
Yep.
Right? Between me and their mother and grandpa and grandma, some of that right there, that's all the farther they get.
Right.
And if grandma and grandpa weren't of like faith and didn't live in the home with us and go the same direction, they wouldn't be going that far either.
Yep.
But that's as far as they go right there. And you're going to let your kids, you're going to let your son and daughter go drive around their car and do it? No, car. They ain't getting a car.
Mm-hmm.
They can use my car.
Mm-hmm.
When they're old enough, you think I'm going to let my daughter go out, run around and drive a car? No. Well, I don't like that. Well, you ain't got to, but I know what happens when girls go out and drive cars by themselves.
Yeah.
No, not my daughter. Oh, yes, your daughter.
Yeah.
You better be careful.
Yeah, buddy.
Yep.
See, this is where the rubber meets the road Christianity, though, right there. That's tough stuff right there. People don't like hearing that. I get a lot of enemies for stuff like that. They don't like that.
That's the truth. You hear
it. It is the truth. You better believe it is. Because I've seen a lot of trouble. That's right. It is the Bible. If it was my opinion, who cares, right?
Right.
What's that? What did you say?
You don't find 16 in the Bible.
That's right. You don't find 16. Somebody said, well, they have to have the wives of 16. Who said?
Mm-hmm.
Who said? Where did that say that at? Oh, when they're 18, they're adult. Why? Who said?
Yeah.
Did God say that?
No.
I'd say they're adult.
Well,
you know? So, yeah, well, the government did. There we go. We take our stuff. Just be careful. Just have a biblical mindset about things, okay? Because confusion is on the rise. If there's a flood coming in from the enemy of absolute confusion, and this LGBT stuff, it's part of it. The Bible says the Antichrist kingdom, that he'll care neither for male or female. It says in Daniel chapter 11, verse number 36, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Think about that one. Nor the desire of women.
Yep.
What is he? See, some people think he's homosexual. I'm not so sure about that. See, I think he might just be androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be more like male and female doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As long as 4K.
Well, he loves himself. Yeah. You have to understand, the Antichrist is going to be a lover of himself and of Satan. But Satan will indwell him and be in him. So as a person, he's going to love himself. Well, he don't have to love anybody else. He loves himself. He worships himself. He is the height of male worship. He's going to worship his own self. Now, he might be a homosexual. That certainly indicates that's a possibility right there. And I don't doubt that at all. But he's definitely going to be stuck on himself. You know? And he doesn't like women, so he must like men if he doesn't like women. So you can take it there, too. But he likes himself an awful lot. Or he loves himself, but I wouldn't rule out him being a homosexual, not being a homosexual. Or, I mean, it doesn't look as if he would be bisexual either, fit in that category, because he doesn't like women.
Right.
So The Bible says he will care not for women. So then, you say, are you saying the Antichrist is a queer?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he's a queer.
Yeah, right.
He's definitely queer with himself, number one. That's the first thing.
Yep.
I'll probably get hate mail. You shouldn't call the Antichrist queer. It's not very nice to call the Antichrist queer. Well, he's not a nice person. I'll be nice to him for any reason. I'll probably call him that before I get my head chopped off.
Yeah.
I just chopping's a little cooler though. It's a little bit easy to go out with the chop of the head. I've always said this. If we do it right, we may lose our heads.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Brother Nate, we've already said that, haven't we? If we do it right, we'll lose our heads. That's right. Anyway, but the Bible says he'll regard the God of his not regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. So women won't have any effect. Nah, whatever. It'll mean nothing to why. Probably because he's so seared. And I mean, I think the devil leans towards being a queer myself too. I mean, because he definitely puts that queer spirit out there.
Yeah.
Of that, I realize he's a, you know, fallen cherub or whatever, but
he
definitely
focused.
Yeah. Yeah.
Concentrates on the military genius.
That's right. That's right. And that's one thing about the Antichrist that, I mean, when it says no desire for women, because women are a weakness to a man.
Yeah.
Right. It's a distraction. So he's just going to be like, nope, I don't have any need for them.
Mm-hmm.
See what I mean? Just driven to conquer the world. You know, but won't have the weaknesses other leaders in the past had. What were their weaknesses?
Women.
But it won't, but it won't matter to him. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're gonna keep going here. We gotta get out of here pretty soon. Alright. See, what do we see today though? They want you to shut your mouth up. That's what they want. Don't say anything about this. Just give in. Just be quiet. So they're gonna call it hate speech.
Right.
If I can get around the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law, right? I'll get around that by basically just labeling it something new, hate speech.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you're just bigots. That's what we hear on the street all the time. This one lady downtown in Minneapolis, she wears this black trench coat. Remember that lady, the black trench coat lady with the glasses, the short hair that always calls us, she calls us bigots, bigots. Bigots, and she starts saying stuff, and like she says the same every time she sees us, she says the same thing over and over again. She confuses us with Catholics who are pedophiles. The Roman Catholic bishops, not the people, but the bishops and that are pedophiles or whatever. And I'm like, lady, we're Baptists, we don't believe that. we don't. That's not.
They kill us.
Yeah, they kill us, lady. They don't like us. Not very much at all. Bigots, you're all just bigots. They say you all just hate because. You know, why? Because we don't want to see babies murdered. Mm-hmm. We're bigots. We don't want to accept that Sally has two moms.
That's right.
So we're bigots.
Mm-hmm.
We want public school teachers teaching our children on the safe way to fornicate.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, first of all, why don't you teach them not to fornicate at all? That's what you should be teaching them.
Yeah, come on. Why do we teach them?
Why do we teach them how to?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're not teaching them how to safely do it. You're teaching them to do it.
Yeah. Right.
You see the difference?
What are you talking about that?
That's right. It's ridiculous. You have Christians that now that they own companies, they bake cakes, and they're given gag orders and told they can't speak about a case. Why? Because the enemy is coming in like a flood, that's why, and they're saying you can't talk and put a gag order on you. So now we're stealing your business, we're charging $200,000, but you can't talk about it. Man, forget you, I don't care what judge told me that, I'd go everywhere and talk about it.
Yeah, right.
Jerk. Anyway. That so the judge wants to send them to some Orwellian nightmare type camp, you know, of what do they call that? A re-education camp. Oh, they don't call it that, do they? No. What do they call it? They call it sensitivity training.
Yeah.
You need some sensitivity training. I'm sorry, sir, you don't agree with the collective? Welcome to my Orwellian nightmare. I'm gonna take you to sensitivity training. Could you imagine that? It'd almost be fun to go through that, maybe. I mean, I don't know. I would go in there and be like, okay, you're going to sensitivity training. You got it. Okay. So I go in there and like, are you sensitive yet? Nope. Sorry. There ain't no gay in me, friend. It ain't going to work, okay? You ain't queer in my thoughts here. It's not going to work, okay?
Yeah.
I still think you're all fruits and you're all going to burn in hell.
Yeah.
So you better repent.
Yeah,
sir.
Amen.
I got some re-education for that judge, though. Why don't you repent of your wicked sins and get saved by the grace of God, and maybe you won't be working for the sodomite movement.
That's right.
Man, what kind of man could actually work for... Nate and I just seen an article from a Methodist church that these two men, even though the church is against homosexual marriage, These two men, what they did, these two men, well, if you can call them men, whatever. Anyway, they actually proposed to each other right there in front of the church, in front of everybody.
Yeah.
That's what they did. And they clapped for him and everything?
Yeah, they stood up.
Yeah, standing ovation. One woman in the back covered her eyes. Oh, this is disgusting. You know, I don't know how any man could stay in that room. It's like, are there any men left? Because I'd stand up and preach to them. Are there any men left in these places anymore? I mean, well, half of them are ran by women anyway. But I mean, are there any men left that would even, I mean, how do you watch that?
Right.
Because their wives would say, no, honey, don't say anything.
Yeah, just keep your
don't say anything.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, don't do that to your husband, but don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't do that. That's not good. Especially about something like that.
Yep.
But you know, we're seeing the wickedness rise. But God is still raising up deliverers, though. Because God promised when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against him. Mm-hmm. And we are seeing that standard. There's a lot of confusion out there, though. A lot of it. Confusing little boys that they are girls. And then but that's not abuse. But if you train your children as a Christian at home and you homeschool, we got to take you in for a mental evaluation, lady. There must be something wrong with you. I mean, you have five children, you want to stay home all day? We need a mental evaluation, lady.
No,
yeah, call CPS. So CPS comes in and tells this lady, because their kids were running down the road a little way. They weren't even that far. They were just playing or whatever. And then they went and found their kid or whatever and got him back. And then somebody called CPS or whatever. And CPS didn't come in for that. They said, well, you stay home all day with these five kids? Well, there's something mentally wrong with you. You got to go in for an evaluation. See, if we were the America of old, what somebody would have done to that lady is grab her by the seat of her pants and throw her out of the house.
Right.
That's what they would have done if we had real men in America today.
Right.
That's what we would have done.
Yeah. Right.
And said, mind your own business.
Yep. Get out of my house.
Get out of my house and don't come back.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the old America, though.
Yeah. Right.
That's the America they want to destroy down in the South.
Yep.
The little bit that's left down there.
Yeah.
I know the South isn't perfect. They got the problems, but a little bit of that little bit of America, that's what they want to destroy. They don't want that being around. They don't want that around.
Right.
No. Confused. They want girls and boys to be confused about who they are. And they won't call CPS for that. You can raise, if a boy is a boy and you raise him as a girl, well, you're fine. But if you teach him Christian principles and teach him to love God and teach him to hate sin, well, now we gotta have you come for a mental evaluation.
Yep.
There's something wrong with you.
Wrong with you.
Yeah, there must be something wrong with you.
Yep.
You believe in liberty? You believe in those? What's the matter with you?
Crazy. Yeah, you're crazy.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you. You're crazy. That's right. You hear that sermon?
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Go listen to that if you haven't heard that yet.
No,
it's called, yeah, it's called You're Crazy. Something about mental illness or whatever. An end times attack on Christians.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's an end times attack on Christians. So again, you have Target now, like Nate said earlier, that they're saying, hey, we're going to remove gender specifics from children's, you know, from some of the things. We're going to remove that. Why? What's the point of that? It's just your new world order. I'm going to preach on this sometime coming up real soon. There has to be a drive for unisex, androgynous beings. There has to be, in order for everything to work, because everybody has to be one.
Right.
There can be no gender identity. Everybody has to be the same.
Yep.
No individuals in the collective.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Everybody must be the same.
Resistance is
futile. That's right. It's Luciferianism. By the way, you know, but again, I've heard from ex-sodomites that were saved.
Yep.
And now they're warning and calling men to repentance.
Yep.
Right? We have friends on Facebook that are ex-sodomites. I've got friends that contact me through email that say, we've been following your ministry. We got saved out of that life of sodomites.
Amen.
So,
Amen.
You know, and men can be saved out of that. They can be saved. Women can be saved out of that. God can still save them. Don't believe what Steven Anderson says.
Right.
He tries to say that homosexuals can't be saved. Oh, you don't believe they can be saved because you don't believe in repentance.
Right.
That's what your problem is.
Yep.
You don't believe a man can repent of his sins and trust Christ as a Savior.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in repentance, then obviously you don't, because repentance is the work of God. You don't believe that somebody that's stuck in homosexuality can be saved. Well, if you were Manasseh and Manasseh got saved all the wicked things that he had done and everything else, God can save any man.
Yeah, right. Right.
But you don't believe in repentance, so then obviously, you know, you believe in saying a prayer, repeating after me, 1, 2, 3, and then pronounce everybody saved. And then you say, we had these soul-winning blitzes and had 500 people saved in like 30 seconds on the street.
Yeah.
How many of you have baptized? None of them. How many want to join your church? None of them.
Yeah.
And then you have to write on your website 11 excuses why people don't show up to church. 11 reasons why my converts don't show up to church. You know what I say to them? You only need one. They're not saved. There you go. End of story. Good deal. They're all done.
Amen.
Right there. Either that or number two, you annoy them to death with your whiny little chihuahua voice. And they don't want to listen to you preach because you just annoy them.
That's right.
Because you've got this whiny little girl voice that drives people nuts. Anyway.
That's right.
I'm sorry. That was kind of...
Chill.
Okay, I'm not really sorry. I shouldn't say that. I'm not. He is wicked. False prophet. Listen, folks. Some of you out there are sleeping. You need to wake up. You need to wake up to what's going on.
That's right, Aaron.
Wake up. We see the Lord is raising up deliverers. He's lifting up a standard against them in the evil day. And God is using men all over the place and women. There's a rightful place for women too as well to wake up and to see this. And I'm going to talk about that in the end here too as well. But the Lord is raising up deliverers and it's time to arise to righteousness. You can no more sit on the sidelines of the war. You never could, but now more than ever, we must lift up a standard against evil. You can't say, well, I know what I believe in my family. Well, we'll just serve God and we'll not war against sin and we'll be okay. It doesn't work that way.
Getting warred against.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the problem. You know, one of the major problems today is no one wants to fight anymore.
No. We'll fight for this war,
Steve. Right. But no one wants to fight for the Lord anymore.
Yeah.
No one wants to war against sin. No one wants to hear about it. I don't know if they've drank too much fluoride or what.
No.
But nobody wants to war anymore. They don't want to go out and do exploits. They don't want to battle against evil anymore. They want to just, I don't want to make a scene. No, we need to make a scene. We need to make a big one. We're going to Boston and Salem today to make a scene, a big one.
Amen.
I intend to make a very big scene. Has everyone drunk too much fluoride or has everyone just drank some passive tea or what's happened? Because we have passivity is just amazing today in American men.
Yeah.
They don't want to stand up. They're so passive.
Trance.
Yeah, that's right. Trance. Psalm 94:16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity?
That's right.
Think about it. Yes. How about the flooding? Number three or four? I always lose track of my numbers. Oh, I don't even keep track of them, really. The next one, whatever. I should say what one pastor said. He says, number next. Number next. That way he doesn't have to keep track. Because I don't even write, like, number three on there. It's impossible. Anyway, we're seeing a flood of apostasy and false doctrine.
Oh, yeah.
We're seeing the enemy come in like a flood. This false doctrine. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1, please. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. Boy, that means something, doesn't it?
Expressly.
Very important. That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Well, let me tell you something. Flat out, a gospel without repentance is a doctrine of the devil.
Amen.
That's what it is, plain and simple. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. What are they? These are men that are departing from the faith.
Right.
We're seeing a wholesale departure from the faith today. Men that used to stand up and say repent like Ken Hovind are saying, no, you don't need to repent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In fact, they preach against it.
Yes.
No, you don't need to repent. So you just stay a homosexual then? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. They don't believe they'll be saved. Okay. So you just stay a drunkard then? I heard Stephen Anderson say that. Oh, you just stay a drunkard. Some people, they get saved, but they're old and they just stay a drunkard their whole life. They don't ever change. Well, what kind of salvation is that? You got ripped off. What happened to you? You got saved. I'll tell you what happened to you. You think you got saved from hell. You got saved from the punishment of sin without being saved from the power of sin.
Yeah.
How cruel of a God do you serve that would save you from the punishment of sin but keep the power of sin over you your whole life?
Right.
Boy, that'd be awful, wouldn't it?
Right.
That'd be awful to have to go through this world knowing that I was defiling myself and I could never have any power or authority over sin in my life or over the devil and his wicked kingdom in my life. But I'm going to heaven at the end, but I have to live like hell my whole life because I have no power over sin.
Right.
No, salvation means you're safe from the power, the penalty, the pleasure of sin, and someday the presence of sin.
Right.
Someday we'll sin will never be around us. When we die and we go to heaven.
Right.
Then we'll be saved from the presence of it.
Yep.
It's apostasy to deny biblical repentance. How could any man that preaches the Bible tell men that they don't need to repent? How is that even possible? How do you even think like that? Where does that come from? How is it that a man does not understand what repentance is, and he makes the same straw man arguments that Stephen Anderson makes?
Yep.
How can a man defend the shack and recommend it, and again, after being rebuked over it, and him accepting the obvious errors in it, and he hardens his heart and becomes proud over it. How do you do that? I'll tell you how, because the Bible says some shall depart from the faith.
That's right.
And you're going to see it. And like Nate preached, we can't trust any man. We got to trust the Lord. I don't tell people to trust me. I tell you to look at the book.
Right.
Now you can follow me as I follow Christ.
Amen.
And that's what you're commanded to do. The Bible says you follow me as I follow Christ.
Right.
But when I stop following Christ, you stop following me.
That's right.
Amen.
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 The Bible says.
Right.
No, I believe in undying loyalty No.
That's what Dr. Hiles believed.
Who was a heretic.
Right.
And he believed that you need, I got trained this. Oh, it's undying loyalty. You follow and you obey no matter what. That's what you do. You follow and obey no matter what.
Close the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trained by the men that trained him. This is what they said to me. They said, okay, you know, if leadership tells you to do something wrong, you just do it anyway, and God will deal with leadership, but you just do it anyway.
Wow.
I remember I had this junior church that I ran, back, this was 10 years ago or so, but I remember this junior church that I ran, and this pastor that was above me came in, and he was like, okay, we're going to make all these changes. I go, okay, like next week? No, like now. I was like, this is going to amount in total chaos if you do this right now. You can't come in here and change the whole program like that. So I went and talked to the pastor, the head pastor. I said, Pastor, he's going to do all these changes here. I mean, this is going to be like now. I mean, this is going to go insane. I mean, everything's going to go nuts when he does this. So what did he do? He said, just follow the order and obey him. So I went downstairs. I was like, okay. And I just stepped back, and the whole thing turned into absolute chaos. Workers walked out and left and took off like, I'm not doing this. This is crazy. And it was crazy. But why do they do such things? Why do they do that? I'll tell you why they do it. Because they're trained that you have to have this, you follow man no matter what. No, you don't. You follow the Word of God, and as that man is following Christ, you follow him. And by the way, a man ought to be able to be reasoned with. It should have been reasonable for me to be able to tell that man, now look, brother, can we hold off on this? If we do this now, this is going to be like crazy. I mean, I've had men come and reason. We talk and reason together all the time. Sure, I know I'm the preacher there. I know I'm the pastor there. And I know there's pastoral authority goes there. But we still talk about things.
Yeah.
And if somebody says, man, a preacher, I don't think this is a good idea. Another person says, preacher, I'm not sure this is a good idea. You know what? I start to listen. I'm thinking, maybe this isn't such a good idea.
Right.
Maybe there's some reason why this might not be a good idea. And if these men are not that comfortable with it, maybe I ought to rethink about something and say, they're not comfortable with this.
Yeah, right.
There must be a reason they're not comfortable with this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's leadership. You're not a benevolent dictator.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't teach people to follow you no matter what. No, follow me as I follow Christ.
That's right.
And if you see me deviate, then we'll sit down and we'll talk about it. And you ought to be easily entreated, the Bible says, as a pastor, so people can come to you and talk to you.
Amen.
Although I get accused of not being that way from outside people.
Yeah, not in
that
church.
Right, not in the church, but people that are outside that listen to, oh, he's just mean, and he's this, and, oh, yeah, be careful about that guy. Why? I mean, oh, that must be a cult there or something like that. Oh, yeah, it's real cold, let me tell you. You ever been in a room with these guys? I mean, really?
Sorry,
what's that? Yeah, that's why we meet in a senior center. Yeah, because, you know, cults really meet in the senior center around everybody, and they just like, you know, they just like meet around a bunch of old people all the time and everybody else around you and everything. I mean, you know, I mean, yeah, this is a place of, this is a real place of where a cult would be, right in plain sight in the public where anybody can walk in there. They, you know, I mean, come on. Now, we can tell people they can leave, you know, if they're... Right, if I was Jim Jones and asked you to drink the Kool-Aid or something, and, you know, and I mean, or the Kool-Aid, I remember talking to somebody like that, and they, tried to warn them about Heil's and Zares, and this guy said, oh, it's too late for me. He said, I already drank the Kool-Aid, it's too late for me, there's no going back, I'm 100% Heil's.
Wow.
Okay.
Yep.
And they call a strong Bible preaching church a cult. No, that was a cult.
Yeah.
Okay. But preaching the Word of God and standing on the faith and holding to standards and holding to separation, doesn't make you a cult.
Right.
It makes you biblical.
Right.
It means you actually stand for something in a wicked world, as opposed to what we have today with this flood of apostasy that has moved in. This absolute flood that's moved in. How could a man say shunning is a cult? If somebody tells you to shun somebody, Ken Owens says, somebody tells you to shun somebody, that's really a cultic language. I'd be careful about that. Okay, let me turn to Romans chapter 16. We'll see what the Bible says about that. I think Mr. Hovind needs to do a little bit more study and a lot less question answering.
Yeah, we're not Amish.
Yeah. By the way, the Bible does say shun profane and vain babblings. Verse number 17?
Of what chapter?
16. 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them.
Yeah.
Mark them. What does that mean? Well, yeah, mark them.
Mm-hmm.
Put a mark on them. Let people know that guy right there is not following sound doctrine. What else does the Bible say? They cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them.
Yep.
If somebody tells you to shun somebody like that, then that's a cult. No, that's Bible. If somebody has false doctrine and it's not according to faith, you're to what? Avoid them.
Right.
Mark them, and it doesn't say just avoid them. Like, well, I'll just avoid them. No, you mark them. And you avoid them.
Right.
Right, you make it known. You warn people. Paul, by the way, just so you know, Paul used names in the Bible.
He did.
And if you don't use names, then, you know, it'd be kind of a weird book to read, the Bible would be.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If he did this, well, blank the coppersmith did me much harm. Well, which coppersmith, Paul? Which one was it? Can you imagine Paul sent out a letter to like Ephesus or something like that, and Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm, but he left Alexander's name out.
Yeah.
And he's writing the letter, so he's like, blank the coppersmith did me much harm. I don't want to talk about anybody. I don't want to gossip. That's not gossiping.
That's right.
That's not gossiping, okay?
No,
it's not gossiping. To mark them and to avoid them, the Bible says. And by the way, the enemy is coming in like a flood. We're seeing that. And I pray Ken Hovind repents. I really do.
Yep.
You know, I don't wish anything ill of him. He's already been through enough. But that's a very important doctrine.
Yep.
And when you start deviating away from that doctrine, then you get into this 1, 2, 3, repeat after me stuff, and nobody has any sorrow for sin. Nobody wants to say, nobody wants to confess their sin, and nobody wants to get right with God, because why? They can live any old way they want to because they got a free ticket to heaven.
Right.
And if that's what you understand salvation is, then you're in a lot of trouble.
Right.
A lot of trouble. Apostasy is coming in like a flood, and the Spirit of the Lord is lifting up a standard against them, though. Listen, if we will not separate over the gospel, we will not separate over anything.
Right.
And apostasy is on the rise. Men giving Bible standards and doctrines for the applause of men. That's what we're seeing today. Just so men are happy with them. But even in those wicked times, in the midst of those wicked times, God will raise up a deliverer, and He is, and we're seeing that. By the way, you can be a deliverer in your home as a lady too. You can be a deliverer in raising up godly seed.
Amen.
And raising up a godly seed, raising up. I've said this before and I'll say it again. Ladies, you misunderstand and you minimize your ministry that God has given you a lot. You don't realize that raising godly children, godly ladies and godly boys that will end up being godly men someday. Some will be pastors.
Yeah.
Some will be wives of preachers, wives of godly men. And your duty is to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Your duty is to raise them up. And God raises up those to deliver those. And you don't know if God's going to use you to raise up a deliverer like that.
Right.
If God will use you to do something in this next generation, for the next generation to come.
Yeah. Amen.
And that's very important. And God lays out that ministry. And you and I have to, you know, I have to, in every aspect of everything we do, we have to gird and put our armor on and be ready to war.
Right.
Because, by the way, it's going to be all that a lady will be able to do is to raise her children to keep them godly in this wicked world we're living in.
Yeah, right.
Because they are being flooded with evil.
Yeah.
They're flooded with everything. This country is absolutely flooded with nudity everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, this desire for people to take their clothes off.
Yeah.
It is. Listen to me, folks. If you have a desire to take your clothes off like that all the time, it's satanic.
There's a big event at the beach, Hampton Beach. It was a big topless day for all the women.
In Hampton Beach, a topless day. Right here in New Hampshire? Right here in New Hampshire, a topless day. Right at the beach.
I was talking to you about
right. And what is that? It's satanic. That's what it is. Listen, you have to have devils in you to want to be naked all the time and run around total strangers with no clothes on. Right, that's right, that is what it's like. When you look all the way through the Gospels and you see them, what do they do? They rip their clothes off when they're devil-possessed.
Yeah.
And they show their flesh.
Legion. Yeah.
Yeah, legion. Wait, go back and listen to a sermon I preached on. It's called The Naked Truth.
Yeah.
Biblical nudity, what it means to be biblically naked.
Yeah.
And go listen to that and understand that. And keep your body covered and understand that God wants you to be covered.
Yeah.
God doesn't want you exposing your whole body to everybody to see. It's not for anybody else. That's right. That's it. That's right. So God expects that.
Amen.
And I mean, but we're seeing that today. We're seeing a flood of that everywhere. Where men, I mean, it's hard to even, I mean, you're driving down the road, it's hard to even look where you're, I mean, you can hardly even look. Because it's everywhere. Just immodesty, complete, almost nudity. And just proud of it and arrogant about it.
Yep.
And right in front of your face. And you know what? We've got to raise up children. We've got to raise up a godly seed that understands that that's not appropriate.
Right.
That you don't do that. No matter what somebody thinks about, oh, you must be old-fashioned, you must be this. Yeah, I don't care what you call me, I'm just not naked like you are.
That's right.
Okay? You may not like it, but I'm not going to be naked like you.
That's right.
God gave me a body for one person to marry, and that's the one that's supposed to see it,
yep.
And nobody else is supposed to see it until then. And that's the way God intended it to be.
Amen.
See, but I've failed in that way. Well, you don't have to fail anymore.
Amen.
You can turn away, you can repent, you can get it right, you can do right now.
Yep.
That's why there's always hope while there's breath left. There's always hope that you can do right. There's always hope, there's always forgiveness found in Christ.
Yep.
That you can go to Him and you can say, Lord, I've failed you this way, but I'm not going to fail you anymore. I'm going to turn away from those things.
Amen.
This flood of pornography and everything else. Pornography is a wicked, vile, disgusting sin that God hates.
Yep.
It is fornication. That's right. It's full of devils too. And God hates it. And you bring on devils and everything else when you watch pornography and your eyes see those things. But not to mention homosexuality and everything else.
Yep.
And there's just spirits behind that wicked stuff and you need to turn away from that. But you know what? In the midst of all this wickedness, we are flooded with it. God is raising up deliverers.
Amen. Yep.
Are you one of them? Are you one of them? Think about it. Are you ready to answer that call that God wants you to answer, to be a deliverer, to be one of those people that will stand up and that will be different as the enemy comes in like a flood? That, hey, it's going to cost something to do it, but you know what? It's worth it. Christ is worth it.
Amen.
Christ is worthy. You gave Himself for us. You remember that Christ is worth it all.
Amen. That's right.
And you'll know it and you'll feel it when you see Him one day that it'll be worth it all.
Amen.
Amen. You just remember that. And God is raising up deliverers. He's raising them up in this time. And God is lifting up a standard against all this wickedness. So take heart to that. Don't think that you're the only one. Sometimes we think when we're out in the middle of nowhere like that we must be the only ones. It must just be us. You're not. You're not alone. There's other brethren on there. Try to contact. Try to find them online. Try to connect. It's one thing our ministry's done is connect some people together that for encouragement. People are finding, I get emails every day from people saying, you know what? I just want you to know that we're out here, we're listening to you, and your message is getting out here. I had a lady call me from France the other day. And she said, you know, I've been listening to your sermons, and she listened to that sermon, The Power and Authority Over Satan's Kingdom. You should listen to that sermon if you haven't heard it yet. And she listened to that, And it was a blessing to her, and she said that she took back some power that God gives us, and she took it back from the devil and repented and got some sins right, got some things right with God, and got her life clean, and the Lord is using that in her life.
Amen.
You know what? Because God is going to use people from all over the place.
Amen.
And He's raising them up. And they're going to answer. They're going to respond. Listen, there's going to be people. There are people that hate my guts. Can't imagine that, can you? There are people that absolutely hate me. They don't like the way I preach. They don't like the fact that, oh, he yells too much. And he just yells too much. I can't stand that. Listen, you'd watch a football game where somebody's screaming.
Yeah.
You'd go listen to a concert somewhere where some guy's on a microphone and screaming. Don't lie to me. Lady, you don't like it because it rebukes your wicked sin. And you want to hold on to the pride of your own wicked heart, and you want to enjoy your pride. And by the way, I guarantee you one thing. Jezebels don't like Elijahs.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good sermon right there, isn't it?
Right.
Jezebels don't like... I can always tell when I'm around women, and they don't. If they've heard me preach or they've heard about me, and they don't ever talk to me.
Yeah.
If they don't like me, they don't talk to me.
Right.
They'll just kind of walk around me, and they want to talk. They won't say anything to me. They don't want to say a word to me. They don't like anything I say. That's right. That's exactly what it is. And they're like, you know what? I don't want to talk. I hate that. I can't stand that preaching. I hate it. Why? Well, that's because Jezebels don't like preaching from Elijah's.
Yep, right.
When prophets come down and preach, and 500 of their little prophets get burned up. Right? They don't like that. So what happened to Jezebel? She went after him, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so if you think I'm surprised when Jezebels come after me and they get mad at me, I'm not surprised. I wouldn't think they would like it. If you're not living for the Lord, you'd hate this preaching.
Yeah.
If you don't have a heart right with God, you don't want to live for God, you're going to hate this preaching. But there are people that God is raising up people everywhere. God is raising up deliverance. He's raising up men, young men, to go out and say, you know what? I got to preach. I got to move. If I got to get to a church that's going to do it right, then I'm going to move there. Like this young man and his wife now, they got to move there. Why? Because I got to go somewhere where the truth is being preached, where there's other brethren that believe like we do, that are going to stand in the face of this apostasy and stand up and live for God. Because I know what I got saved from. I know what I was before, and I'm not going to be that again. And I'm not going to be on anybody that's going to condone my sin and let me live in that wicked life. And when somebody says it's okay to live that life, I'm going to rebuke them to their face and say, you know what? I can't be in any church that accepts that garbage. I'm not going to be in any church that accepts this wicked world.
Yep.
So I'm going to go somewhere where they don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
See, are you trying to get everybody to Northfield? No, not really. Honestly, I'm not.
Yep.
I'm really not. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really recruit anybody like that.
The Lord does.
But the Lord does, and the Lord raises up them. Some we're going to go to. There's a man in Texas that can't move because of the situation and where he's at and everything else, and God is raising up families around him.
Yep.
And we're going to go help him go start a church, Lord willing, there in Texas.
Yep.
Because God's raising up deliverers in the midst of this, when this flood of the enemy comes in, the enemy comes in like a flood.
That's right.
The Spirit of the Lord, it's God's Spirit that is lifting up the standard against them.
Yep.
I had no idea I would ever come here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I mean, and most people probably think it's crazy. You mean you don't even know these people? And you flew out to New Hampshire? And you're doing their wedding? you don't even know them.
Pretty good.
I know, it's insane, isn't it? I mean, if you look at it from the world standpoint, well, you're just nuts. Why would you do that? Because
yeah.
God told me to. That's why.
Amen. Yep.
That makes sense to me either. Most of my ministry hasn't made sense.
Yeah.
It should have failed. It never should have. God never, according to man's standards, it never should have made it.
Amen.
Every Baptist church that ever tried to start in Northfield, Minnesota, didn't make it.
Mm.
They all folded. They all gave up and left because it's a wicked town, and they hate us there. But you know what? When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against him. And that's what's happening. God took us to one of the most satanic high places there in the state of Minnesota and put us right there. And put us right there in a place like Dinky Town, right there to go preach to a huge satanic high place. Right there. Why? Because when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, God raises up a standard against him. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing all over the country. That's what he's doing all over the world. He's doing all over the country. He's raising up a standard against it. Amen?
Amen.
We've got to be a part of the solution, not the problem.
No compromise.
That's right. We've got to be a part of the solution today. Because there's too much compromise. There's too much.
Yep.
It's getting bad.
Right.
It's just getting real bad out there. And like I was preaching in this sermon, it's getting dark.
Yep.
And we got to shine as much light as we can through the
right.
through the Holy Ghost and the light that He's given us. We got to shine. That means we got to keep. You want to? If you want to fight the devil, you better keep clean.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Keep yourself out of sin.
Can't fight it if you're
flirting. That's right. That's right. You can't fight. I can't say that like you did. I'll tie it in my tongue right there. Might say something bad. I'm not going to say that. But anyway, it's like tongue-tied right there. But that's right. If you're flirting with it, you can't fight it.
Yep.
You got to abstain it. Abstain from all appearance of evil.
Mm-hmm.
Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Rather, reprove them. Mm-hmm. It's not enough just to have no fellowship with them. You've got to openly reprove them.
Yep.
Bring it, drag it into the light, the evil into the light, and shine on there. Father, Lord, thank You for raising Your standard up and raising people up, Lord. And I pray, Lord, this is encouraging to those that are Your people. And Lord, those that hear it online, even they'd be encouraged by it, Lord, and it would be a blessing to them. Thank You, Lord, for the truth of the Scriptures. Thank You, Lord, that though the enemy does come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises up a standard against him. Please help us today, I pray. Give us safety as we go. Use us to Your honor and glory. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.